Well, I see you got them snakes and sparklers, but where's the good stuff, man?
Good stuff? This is the good stuff. Snakes and sparklers.
Are you nuts, dude? You need stuff to explode. Go boom.
Why is that good?
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're going to stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker do's, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips and dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
No. Snakes and sparklers are the only ones I like.
TBTL!
How many hot dogs do you have for lunch?
3.
Well, there's your problem. You're starving. Your body's literally eating itself.
You have to be it so we don't see it. You have to live it or we won't forgive it. You have to inhabit it or leave it in the cabinet.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
Hey, everybody stand by. Here we go again.
All right. Hello, good morning, and welcome to a special 3rd of July, but really 4th of July episode of TBTL.
Boom. Roasted.
The show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Holy smokes.
My name's Luke Burbank. I am your host. Here we are. It's the day before the 4th of July, and we are just going to celebrate this country.
Every year, this party becomes more outrageous as the thousands of free cheeseburgers, hot dogs, and ice-cold Faygo rain from the stage.
Well, let's not get carried away. I don't know if any of that's going to happen. What we are going to do, though, here on episode 3,198 in a collector series is take a 4th of July quiz.
Intelligence for your life.
I don't know anything about this quiz. I know that my good friend Andrew found it online, and he is going to administer it to me. And I guess if I get all of the questions right, we get another 200 years as a country, I believe is how it's going to work.
Let the fun begin. The
stakes are fairly high. So let's do that. Let's get going with the show by introducing this guy, the longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, their splendor, his vibes will be the illest this weekend, and his jams, Naradic. He's going to endeavor to just not do two things today on the show and even going through this weekend.
Loud and too specific.
He wants to avoid being too loud and too specific. He is Andrew Walsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Happy day before the 4th, my dude.
Great heavens, what kind of radio the show is this? That drop has been going through my head all day.
Mr. Burns.
Just like stuck in my head. Stuck in my head. I remember last year, I think it was last year on 4th of July. Maybe it was the year right after the election. I remember you straight up saying on the show, which I thought was pretty bold, like, well, I'm not really in the mood to celebrate America this year. And I remember you just saying, like, everybody, you know, celebrate however you want to celebrate. And you were almost treating it like a religious holiday that some people opt into and some people opt out of. And I remember thinking, like, wow, that's an interesting take on the 4th of July. And God damn, were you ahead of the times. Like, I am not. When I was looking for quizzes today, I was not looking for quizzes that celebrate the founding of this country or the founding fathers.
Yeah.
'Cause you know what? I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it this year, celebrating the slave owners who created this country. So we have a quiz.
That's
I want
a really
you
good
to know
point.
that is not related to that. This quiz, I'm going to tell you right now what it is, because at first you're going to be nervous, but then I'm going to calm your nerves. It's a quiz.
My
about,
wigs are shaking, just so you know.
About grills. Now listen, it's not about grilling. I know that that's kind of a, I mean, I know you like grilling, but I know that you're a little bit insecure around the grill. So I want you to know this is not like a quiz that's going to get into like what temperature do you cook your meat, which you don't even eat anymore. This is actually about grills themselves, the things that we cook food on.
I am very excited about this. I will mention that I have recently realized, I was told actually by my friend Elena Passarello, who's from Georgia originally, that I have been misusing the term barbecue, and I think many people from north of the Mason-Dixon do this as well, which is anytime anyone's cooking any meat, I call it barbecue, but it's not. That's grilling. The barbecue, I mean, obviously, barbecue has its whole own thing going. You've got your Texas style, you've got St. Louis, but that's more of like a pulled meat type situation, or maybe, I don't know, you might smoke brisket, but like barbecuing is its whole own genre of food, and grilling is what I'm doing when I'm just like throwing some eggplant down on the grill. And I commonly misuse, I call it all barbecuing. It's not really barbecuing.
And I always call it grilling, kind of like in the quote unquote proper way you're describing. But also, last time we talked about this, I feel like other people weighed in and said, "No, that's a cultural thing." Like what is the idea of going to a barbecue? And I don't even remember the details on this, but I remember getting schooled a year or two ago about what we consider to be a barbecue versus a grill versus a party versus a picnic versus a barbecue as an event, not just a type of food.
Well, I mean, barbecue, I feel like barbecue usually involves, like, pulled pork, right?
Well, there's all kinds of different kinds of barbecue, right? Ribs.
There's ribs. But is that barbecuing or is that smoking? And can smoking happen under the umbrella of an event that is a barbecue?
I think I'm out of my element here, Donnie, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, if you go, when we were in Austin and we went to get to a barbecue restaurant, we got a plate of barbecue. It also came with sausage, ribs. Although it is true that pork does seem to be a constant. Although you can definitely have barbecue chicken. In fact, I can make barbecue pulled chicken without a grill or a quote unquote barbecue. Where does that leave us? Nowhere.
Confused.
Yeah.
Don't scramble my brain going into this quiz, okay? Because I'm going to need. I'm going to need every synapse that I have. Are you going to be actually doing anything different in your life on the 4th of July because it's a Saturday this year? But of course, we're all trying to be very responsible about how we socialize.
Right. No, I don't think so. So I think you mentioned, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe I'm blowing up our spot. I don't care. I think our relationship can handle it if this does make you angry. But we're pre-recording this show on Thursday so that we could actually take the company holiday, which we don't often do, but we're doing it. So I'm weirdly kind of excited not to have to work tomorrow. But then Saturday, this is not interesting, but I'm recording a different podcast on Saturday that I need to prep for, so that's not going to really. So that day felt like 3 days, and then Sunday, yeah, no, I'm not doing anything really special, just got my usual kind of weekend responsibilities.
So you're not going to go, light a sparkler and do a dance on your roof so that the passersby can have some holiday cheer?
That's weird. I feel like we're talking past each other. Yes, I'm going to do that because I said it's a normal weekend.
Do you have a song? There is a song that my mother would always sing every time she would light a sparkler.
No, I do not have a sparkler song.
And it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't even know what that song is.
Vaguely John Williams-y. Somewhere between like Superman and don't you kind of get a like a exciting John Williams vibe from that?
Should we do a crazy experiment that probably won't work? Should we call my mom out of the blue and ask her what song she would sing if she was twirling? We've never talked about this. I just have absorbed this from being her child for years. Because like my mom loved sparklers. She wasn't huge on all of the loud, explosive, concussive fireworks that we would sometimes light off there at 77th Street. But she always was good for a fun sparkler session, and it'd usually be at the end because I was always like, sparklers are the kind of my least favorite. I've come around on sparklers now. But my mom, if you put a sparkler in my mom's hand, she will do a dance. She will wave the sparkler around, and she will sing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Should we call her and see if she sings that song?
Give it a go. Yeah, she won't be able to hear me. It will be kind of like when I called Genevieve on the phone the other day. But I think if you call her and put her on speaker,
that's my plan.
I can listen in.
Yeah, that's a. This is the part of the show where I Google my mom's phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mom.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually recording TBTL right now. So you're on speakerphone and your voice is going into the microphone. I just want to give you a heads up.
Oh, okay. But you didn't even warn me.
I know, because this was all in the moment, Mom. This is just, we're flying by the seat of our pants here. We're talking about fireworks, and I was saying to Andrew that you would always sing the same song when you twirled a sparkler, and then I sang the song. Do you remember, if I just handed you a sparkler right now, what song would you sing?
It's actually not even words. It's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Isn't it?
Yes, that totally paid off. I was just singing that exact song. By the way, Andrew can hear you, but you can't hear him. But I said to Andrew, should we do an experiment, and should we just call my mom out of the blue and ask her what song she would sing? And that was literally the exact same song. So just so you know, Mom, your sparkler song made a real impression on me because I could sing it from memory.
Luke, you have so much impression from growing up. It's ridiculous.
I know. I did. Well, you made a lot of memorable moments. Mom, are you doing anything fun for the 4th of July? Are you and Dad going to like...
Well, your dad is working on the roof and putting that cupola up.
Okay.
And Jay is here, and Jack and Abe are here.
What?
And now Sammy came over today.
Wow. I don't even get invited for these
projects.
Well, that's cool.
The weather hasn't been extremely cooperative, but
yeah,
they're making it work. Like the other day, it rained quite a bit. And when you have all of your shingles torn off, you don't want that.
Yeah,
they
gotta
cover it with a tarp and all that. So,
well, Mom, you know what? I should let you get back to whatever you were doing because poor Andrew is just sitting
lunch for the kids.
Mutely on the other end of this line. But thank you so much for confirming my memory that that's your song you sing with sparklers.
Yeah, it's automatic. It just happens.
All right. I love you.
Okay. Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't know why that's so rewarding to me that memory was accurate, but it is for some reason.
We've rolled the dice that way several times with your mom, and you guys are always on the same page in a way that surprises me sometimes.
I know. Well, because there are, when you get together with your family, there are many times where my memories actually diverge from like my siblings, because it's just memory is such a weird thing to have a very specific memory of something that then you find out it didn't even happen that way or it couldn't have. And your brain has kind of reconstructed this. I can't think of a good example, but there are things where I have a very vivid memory of something happening a certain way. And later on in talking to my family, it's been like, oh, that couldn't have happened on that day because we were actually doing this, or when we towed that piano from Baker City, Oregon, we didn't go to the, Mike and Pat Dalton's house. So that must have, And you realize, I have had a like false memory. Granted, and thankfully, this is all about stuff that doesn't matter. I'm not talking about like life trauma, but just kind of like I have very vivid memories of things that I now understand intellectually didn't even happen that way.
Yeah. And it makes me nervous, too, because my brain is getting worse and worse as I go on. And yet I find myself on this show telling stories that I believe are very true, very, very, very 100% honestly true in my brain. But God knows how much they match up with reality, which is why in an instance when you do get the verification, it's great. Like you just got that verification from your mom. I was describing to you a skateboard that I had growing up. And then I was like, how could I have had such an evil like design on the skateboard? I remember it was a gift from my dad. Yet then, a year later, my dad sends me a photo of the skateboard. There it is. It is indeed as I remembered. And he did give it to me for Christmas. Why my dad chose an evil demonic as a God-fearing Christian, why he got me such a demonic skateboard. Neither of us have an answer to that, but at least there's photographic evidence that it did exist.
What was on the skateboard again?
Underneath it was like a Nash skateboard, pretty fat. Mine was kind of a fluorescent green color because it was the 80s. But then when you flipped it up on the bottom, there was just horrific, ghoulish, skeletal beast thing. It wasn't even skeletal. It was like a shrunken face with this nasty hair coming out of it. And it said Tasmanian Devil. But it wasn't the cute Tasmanian Devil. I think it said Tasmanian Devil. I could be incorrect about that. But it was very scary thing. I asked my dad about it recently. I'm like, why would you have chosen something so demonic? And he had no idea.
I'm looking at this right now, and I'm sure that I said this the last time it came up, but I have a lot of thoughts on this.
How did you find it? My skateboard?
I just Googled Nash Tasmanian Devil skateboard.
Oh, okay.
Would you like me to quietly Google it so the listeners can hear what it sounds like?
No, the funny thing is last time it had taken me forever to find it, but maybe I didn't remember that it said Tasmanian Devil the first time we talked about this.
I bet you that was a big...
Yeah, I had the green version. Yeah, wow.
Well, it's what's funny is it clearly Nash was trying to kind of play off of, you know, the popular style of a lot of the skateboards that were really like the cool skateboards would be like maybe like a Powell Peralta, something from Bones Brigade. There was a lot of Tony Hawk. There was a lot of skateboards that would have kind of like, yeah, like a little bit ominous, like a skeleton. Well, I mean, Bones Brigade was like literally like skeletons that were skateboarding. Mm. And like a skeletal bird, I think, was the Powell Peralta, like a bird, but it was just a skeleton, I think, was the Powell Peralta one. Anyway, so clearly Nash, which was kind of the like, and I say this, I hope this is, you hear this in the spirit that it's intended. I don't want to confirm any of your sort of like overly self-critical childhood stuff, but Nash was kind of the more like, how do I put it? Like they were, that was like, you could get a Nash at like a JCPenney or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
And they were clearly making the skateboard to kind of look like the quote unquote cool skateboards that you probably had to go to like a skate shop for. But here's what I'm really curious about. I wonder if you would have had a different relationship with skateboarding if you wouldn't have had a Nash, because the couple of times that I skated on a Nash, it was hard because the wheels, like it did not roll easily, and it was like you had to really push it, and you were constantly like losing your momentum because of the design. Like one of the things about if you had had a Powell Peralta board, you could be on some flat cement and you would just push one time and you could roll for like a long distance because the bearings were good, the trucks were good, the wheels, you probably had some OJ2 elites on there. Like the system was good, so it actually was rewarding. Like you could just skateboard down a sidewalk with one push. I remember one of my friends had a Nash and I was trying to push on it, and it was like you were fighting the board the whole time. And I can't help but think if you would have had a non-Nash, you could maybe be Tony Hawk right now.
I probably would be, absolutely. But I don't know. Does Tony Hawk ever sit down on a skateboard and then roll down the slight slope of his driveway? Because the Nash was great for that.
We loved that. We called that butt boarding, mm-hmm. and we would do that all the time. I saw something. I was so mad at – now, I don't know the publication. It's probably just as well. But I was reading – it was a story about Cameo, you know, that website – and where you can get people to record videos. And they said something about Cameo starting off with C-list celebrities. And one of the C-list celebrities they listed was Tony Hawk. And I was like,
C-list.
Would you think of Tony Hawk, the most famous skateboarder in the world with millions of Twitter followers? Probably. I don't know that for a fact. Would you think of Tony Hawk as a C-list celebrity?
Well, I got into a big fight with Genevieve on after these messages over okay, I'm never going to remember this guy's name, nor am I ever going to remember anything he's ever been in. So maybe she's right that he's not an A-list celebrity. But my parameters for what A-list is are apparently out of whack. Okay, speaking of whack, this is how I'm going to get here, and this is going to be very annoying.
Happy 3rd of July. This is okay.
Who wrote the famous hit song Star Whackers?
Oh, Randy Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Thank you. Okay, so his brother, Dennis Quaid.
There.
I said that he was an A-list celebrity, and Genevieve said, he's not an A-list celebrity. I'm like, sure, he would be at all the red carpet events. She's like, he would not be. To me, like, he's a household name. Of course he's an A-list celebrity. Genevieve says, no. Like, I think she put him at B or possibly even C.
Oh, well, I would more with you. Dennis Quaid, he is still very successful. He makes movies that still make a lot of money. Granted, they're getting a bit sappier. I think he always plays like a dad type, although I think there was one recently where he was like a kind of washed up baseball player, but he still played even though he was old, and I think people liked that one, like it was popular. And then he's in those commercials that are pretty good. I would think he's high B, if anything. He was in Innerspace.
Yeah, right, Innerspace, like, yeah.
You know, the Jack Putter machine, no defects, I believe, is what he tells himself. And then he forces Martin Short to also take on that confidence when he's been injected into Martin Short's body. But anyway, I would think he's not Brad Pitt at this point. But like, I guess it's a good question of what is the A list? To me, it's more like, is the person famous? And this is, of course, I think how everyone gets together and celebrates their 3rd of July is me speculating on the what makes someone A-list versus C-list. To me, it's like the people on the A-list don't need me as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine. That's what puts them on the A-list. You know, Angelina Jolie does not need me in her life. Brad Pitt does not. George Clooney does not. They are A-list. Beyonce and Jay-Z do not need me in their life. They are A-list, A-plus list. But Tony Hawk also does not need me in his life. No. I think he's well above C. Like Randy Quaid does need me in his life. Mm-hmm. He is C-list because he is still in Canada. He can't come back to the U.S. His wife was following me on Twitter for a hot minute, which really freaked me out, and then she stopped. Maybe she thought I was a star whacker. But like, to me, somehow it's like Tony Hawk is not as famous as George Clooney, but he's not C-list. C-list to me, what I'm realizing is for me, it's almost more about what I perceive their finances to be. Like, I would say that Pauly D from Jersey Shore is C-list.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's what I would say that.
That's C-list celebrity. Like Anthony Scaramucci, D-list celebrity. Ironically, Kathy Griffin, who had a show called My Life on the D-List, I would say is probably a C-list.
So do you think that Dennis Quaid needs you?
No. That's why he's high B, if not low A-list.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Dennis Quaid doesn't need me. Dennis Quaid is doing great. He's happy. He's healthy. I believe he's sober. He looks great in those commercials. He can make a Hallmark movie that will do a lot of business. Like, for me, where the person is on the list has to do with if they would need me to pay $50 for their cameo. I don't even think – I know Tony Hawk doesn't need the money. The reason I know that is because when we had him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me in San Diego, he was doing it not in an overly braggy way, but there was – somehow it came up that basically they re-released some Tony Hawk – skateboard game that he had done. They had decided to it had run its course, and then they decided to just re-release it. And in the re-releasing of it, basically he said he just went out to lunch with his manager, and his manager just slid a check for $15 million or $20 million to him on the other side of the table. And he was like, "What's this for?" And he goes, "They decided to re-release that game, so this is your money now."
Wow.
Like a thing he'd already been paid for. Like, that's Tony Hawk's reality. That does not seem like a C-list celebrity to me.
Yeah, I don't think so. But again, I think anybody who is higher than you and me on the totem pole is A-list. So
Nora McInerney?
Well, you're right. She is higher than us on the totem pole. That is
way
true.
Higher.
Way higher. Is she A-list though?
In my books, I know she doesn't need us.
A-list. She doesn't need me. You're right. A-list.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad we got that all straightened out. So now we can go to break and come back, and I can really put my brain to the test with a – can we call this quiz, "Let Me See Your Grills"?
No. Let's just call it the Great Grill Quiz, the Great TBTL Grill Quiz of 2020. Let's go with that.
Okay. Could we call it Lena Dunham's new offering, Grills?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess.
Could we call it From the Mind of Motley Crue, Grills, Grills, Grills?
That is a good show title. We'll go with that for the show title. How about that?
Okay, thank you. Thanks for – how about that? Thanks
how
for
about that?
All right. Okay, quick break, and then we'll be back with the quiz in a moment.
I'm not as familiar with Elliot Smith as you and Genevieve are. I'll hear a song every now and then via one of you guys, but I never really got deep into his somewhat limited catalog.
I love this album. I think this is off of XO.
It is.
If I remember right. And, God, what a great record. Although I had an ex. Speaking of exes, I had an ex who said he always sounded like he needed to blow his nose. And therefore... So just listen, tell me, can you hear him needing to blow his nose when you sing?
I could hear it. I could hear it.
Yeah. She was also somebody who hated the smell of Subway bread.
Oh, really?
Very.
Okay, yeah.
Very, you know, very, very committed to her beliefs about things like Elliot Smith needing to blow his nose and Subway bread being a bad smell. You know, every time we talk about that, though, I eventually end up ordering a delivery sandwich when the show's over.
Did you get Subway when we were talking about it last week?
No, I don't. The funny part is I don't order Subway. I order Jimmy John's.
Oh, it just gets you into that
sandwich.
It's
not even Subway.
Is that sandwich
it just
space?
Makes me. It immediately forces me to play in the sandwich space. And then when I'm there playing, I realize, oh, I actually have this whole. I've got this whole veggie situation that I get from Jimmy John's that's incredible. Like, it's so good. And it completely scratches that itch of just like a certain kind of. I don't want to say low quality sandwich, but, you know, not overly artisanal kind of sub sandwich with, of course, the shredded iceberg lettuce. That's what you. That's just the key component to that kind of sandwich.
Yeah. I like some. Did you say spinach, too, though? Get some spinach on there?
No spinach.
Oh, no.
No,
spinach.
No, no.
Really?
No, no. No.
Really?
No, because I don't want this to be. I would have spinach on a different kind of sandwich. Mm-hmm. Like There are the days that I'm having like a well-made artisanal type sandwich that might have spinach on it. In fact, there is – this isn't spinach. This is arugula. But there's a – if anyone's ever in L.A. and they're looking for a great place to eat when this is all legal and advisable again, there is a place called I believe it's called Café Maison Midi. And it's in the back of a furniture store on La Brea. The furniture store I think is – I don't remember the name of the – furniture store. It might be called Maison Midi itself, but they have a sandwich that is arugula and mozzarella. I know you're not a big cheese guy, but like it's one of the it's like a mandatory stop for me when I'm in LA. But anyway, there are days where I want a sandwich that has spinach on it and has got great artisanal rustic ingredients, and then there are days I just want a shredded lettuce bomb with pickle and a bunch of olive oil, and I'm going to order one during the show.
Yeah, I can tell. Really getting onto it. I put spinach on non-fancy sandwiches, though. I told you the other day, it's funny that I already told you my Subway order, the same thing that I order every time I go in there. I've been ordering the same thing for 20 years. Already discussed that like 2 days ago, but I didn't mention the toppings. So we've already established it's always either a Italian BMT or a spicy Italian. Very similar Italian bread. But then my toppings, thank you for asking, spinach. Mm-hmm. The yellow hot peppers. Onions.
What do you call those? Do you call those pepperoncinis?
Oh yeah, I think those are pepperoncinis. Although those might not be pepperoncinis, because when you get pepperoncinis in a bottle, they're almost more like they're like thinner skinned. Whereas those are like yellow peppers that are chopped up and then
some
pickled.
People call them banana peppers.
Ooh, maybe that's what they are.
But
I don't know.
But that
I
might
like
be
those,
wrong
though.
Too. I do too, but I think I'm always calling them the wrong thing.
And then I put on the controversial honey mustard. So I like the taste of the honey mustard, the sweetness cutting into the acidic nature of those peppers with the texture of the spinach. It's good stuff. Sorry,
did
just
you
petered
see this?
Out as I was hearing myself talk.
There was a – I just had to Google this to make sure it was not real, and in fact, it was not real, so that's why we should just leave it alone. But I saw this thing going around yesterday that was like Jersey – somebody created a fake Jersey Mike's account. That's a, you know, sub-sandwich chain, and it purported – it was, you know, it was written up in the sort of like the way that they put the whole tweet together. It looked like it really came from Jersey Mike's corporate – claiming that they were changing the name of their BLT to BLM in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. But they wrote in this very somber way. And corporations are so befuddled right now about how to actually be responsible and actually do some good in the world that you could kind of believe it would happen. So, of course, everybody was just roasting Jersey Mike's for this decision, which I read it to be like, it's tone deaf and weird, but also, I don't know, they're trying. But then it was all just made up.
Yeah.
Bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, the BLT, remains the BLT at Jersey Mike's.
But it's funny. So this troller did have to – they did force the company to issue a statement saying that they're not changing it to BLM, which is interesting.
Which is like, huh, okay, Jersey Mike's, why wouldn't you change your sandwich name? Is it that important to you? Now they're canceled.
All right, listen, we were going to do a half-hour show. We're already at a half hour, so I guess we'll just end it here. Yeah.
Yes, I love it. And can I get 100? Not unlike our cybersecurity quiz. Can I get 100? Can I keep it 100 on this quiz that I'm not even going to have to take now?
Okay, so should we play the Grills song then while we do this? Is this the song you were thinking of, by the way? Because I'm not even sure that I know the song. This is
Let
by
Me See Your Grill.
Nelly.
Yeah.
Paul Wall.
You know it. Nelly. You already know it's Paul Wall.
Okay, here's the music. Here comes the first question. Approximately what percent of American homes have a grill, Luke? Now, these are multiple choice. I could give you the multiple choice. Also, there's a button that I can click to give you a hint, but let me just give you the multiple choice first if you'd like that. 60%, 75%, or 90%? What percentage of American homes have a grill?
I'm going with 60%.
I'm sorry, my friend. The answer is actually 75%. I will get my. I don't know. I can't buzz you while I play the music.
What about people in apartments that don't have balconies?
Even I have one, though. I mean, kind of inherited that we keep down by in the garbage bin.
Yeah, but you have outdoor space associated with your home. Like, there are lots of people that live in apartments that don't have anywhere that they could. I mean, if there's one grill at your complex. Does that mean everybody in that complex has a grill? I want to see some data on this.
Well, I just love that you're getting into the spirit of this, though. That's good. I will say, though, that like I say we have a grill. I think it's a testament to how people make grills work because you say we have outdoor space, but I don't grill on the roof. That's incredibly dangerous. It's sloped, and we got into a whole thing about that. So when I grill,
I'm with Genevieve on this.
I pull the grill out, and I grill in this tiny little alleyway that is a pain in the ass. I got to pull out a bunch of tables to put down there. Like, it is very, very inconvenient, yet we still do it from time to time. So that's why I guessed I did part of this quiz before. I just want you to know that I got that one right.
But see, the problem with that grill, dun 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 dun, you'll be a woman soon.
Okay, that's another show, don't
grill, bum 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 bum. What I'm doing is just taking the word girl, Andrew.
Oh, now I'm now
grill.
I see.
I don't know if you're
don't
if you're
give me
seeing
the secrets,
the, seeing the through line. There is going to be a point during this quiz where I'm going to order a Jimmy John's veggie sandwich, and then when it arrives, the show has to be over. That's going to be how we're going to play
this. Well, but this is supposedly a 20-question quiz, so we should get going.
I am Team Genevieve in that, you know, I think Genevieve has made the case before that there's got to be a way to put some sort of level out a platform and use metal or something else that is fire retardant. And then have the grill in a more convenient place for you. But you will not have that.
And then when our landlord came over to fix the washing machine the other day, then I would have had to, like, take it all apart so that he wouldn't have seen it when he came up to our apartment. That wouldn't have been fun. I'd be paranoid all the time. Yes. I don't like it.
This is why, Andrew, this is honestly, a lot of people are like, will they or won't they? You know, you and I have a real moonlighting kind of sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we won't.
We won't.
Because
won't we?
I would not be able to. I would be, every day I'd be mad that the grill wasn't up there on that cool roof deck of yours.
Yeah. It's not a deck, it's a roof.
Okay.
How hot can most grills get? 500 degrees, 750 degrees, or 900 degrees? I'm giving those to you in Fahrenheit, of course. I have the Celsius if you would prefer.
I think mine theoretically goes up to about 750, so I'm going to go with that.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to give yourself a buzzer there because it is 500 degrees Fahrenheit. I also guessed 750 because here's what I was basing it on. I did, for the first time ever, I had my oven go on the self-cleaning mode. I never knew what that meant. I don't know if we talked about this. We talked about it a lot on Spotless, but I always imagined, kind of like a dishwasher, when you put it on self-cleaning mode, I assumed a bunch of little scrubbing bubble guys came out and like scrubbed the inside of your oven and then all went and scampered away and hid somewhere when you opened it again. Turns out that a self-cleaning oven just gets really, really, really hot, up to 800 to 900 degrees, and it just turned everything into dust. It was an amazing experience when I did that a few weeks back. So I thought, well, my grill gets at least that hot, so I thought 750 as well. But according to this, 500 degrees is hotter than most ovens get. Talk about flame broiled. By the way, this quiz is coming from HowStuffWorks.com.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-oh. Now, do we just let so this album two. Roll, or do we go back to...
That sounds dangerous. Yeah. I just go back to this. This song, I assume, has a clean tag on it.
Actually, I was on the clean Oh, I thought I was on the clean version, but I'm not. We just have to keep talking to cover up anything that's inappropriate.
To keep getting the answers wrong at specific points so we don't hear anything that's not appropriate for the... For this podcast.
What type of grill has the fewest parts? A charcoal grill, liquid propane, or natural gas?
Charcoal.
Charcoal indeed. We will give you that one. You only need three pieces. A surface to cook the food on, a container to hold the charcoal, and a base to support the two. Can't get much simpler than that, says How Stuff Works. Next
now,
question.
Is what makes something a hibachi?
I think that's just a tiny grill. Little charcoal grill, right? Isn't that just a brand?
Yeah, it has like, I think it's also like sometimes it's more like rectangular instead of round.
Yeah. And it is that a type of grill or a brand?
I think it's a type, and based on the name, I'm going to assume it originates in Japan.
Yeah, you're right. It is a type. So, okay, moving on here. What exactly is charcoal anyway? Wood, stone, or clay? Aikens. Just clay. Yeah. Sorry. Wood, stone, or clay?
Wood, stone, or clay?
Evan Wood, Sharon Stone, or Clay Aikens?
It is. It's wood, right? It's wood that has been compressed into being charcoal.
Wood is indeed correct. It's wood that's been heated, but without oxygen, so it doesn't actually burn. If it did, there wouldn't be anything left to use in our grills. Now, this next question is one of my favorites. See, this is how you do a quiz, by the way. I'm actually very impressed with this quiz. I haven't gone through all of them yet, but when I got to this one, I'm like, this is definitely the quiz for us, because not only is it literally about grills, but it's also now spinning off a little bit. What was charcoal used for in ancient times? To embalm mummies, to start funeral pyres, or to dry out animal droppings?
Huh. Dry out animal droppings is the most confusing one to me, so I'm going to pick that.
Really? Okay, we're going to go with that, and I'm going to have to ask you to give yourself a buzzing wrong answer sound effect. There you go. Yeah.
Funeral pyre?
Nope, to embalm mummies. It's not known who the first discovered charcoal or when, but we do know that the Egyptians used it in the mummification process. What do you think of that?
How about that?
How about that? How hot are the sealed boxes in which charcoal is made? So charcoal, we have now learned, is made by heating it really hot but denying it oxygen so it doesn't burn. How hot are the boxes in which it's made? 500 degrees, 1,000, or 1,500? Or clay
I'm going
Aikens.
1,500.
1,500. By the way, this is new territory for me. I do not know the answers. And, I'm afraid I have to ask you to give yourself an uh-oh. The correct answer was 1,000 degrees.
What if I'm confused? Now see, this is dangerous. I'm in control of the sound effects.
Oh, no. There we go.
1,000 degrees. Wow. Okay, so I guess that would explain why my grill doesn't go to 1,000 degrees.
Yeah, I guess so. What are two substances in charcoal? Carbon and ash? Ash and petroleum? Or carbon and petroleum?
Is carbon and ash the same thing? Petroleum? Maybe. I'm going to go carbon and petroleum because maybe that helps it burn.
Okay, I was going to guess carbon and ash. Let's see here. Carbon and petroleum, as the robot would say, is wrong. Carbon and ash is the correct answer. So I would be winning if this were a contest, which I wish it were. When wood is turned into charcoal, the other substances in the wood are removed. All that remains is pure carbon and ash.
That reminds me of one of the guys from The Clash. He started another band called Carbon and Silicon.
Really?
And he came through New York, and I did an interview with him. I think I've told this story a few times on the show. And I was, I was really into The Clash, and I was very excited to get to meet somebody from The Clash. And I could not understand what he was saying. His accent was so Cockney. He had consumed so much recreational stuff over the course of his life that he would just give an answer and then I would just laugh and play along. And to this day, I have no idea what he said in that interview. The guy from Carbon and Silicon.
That's kind of what I do on this show. I just laugh. I don't know what you're talking about half the time. But I was hoping to find another song here. That one was getting a little repetitive. Should I let this go and just hit it again?
What's another song about? What about Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
I like it. I'm going to do that. How many times can we listen to that in a row before that gets old? Here, this is good. I like the way you think.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I needed an infusion of energy. Yeah. Why is charcoal better for grilling than freshly cut wood, Luke Burbank? Why is charcoal better than wood? Fresh wood has too much water, sap, and other substances in it. Fresh wood burns too quickly, or charcoal is less expensive.
Well, I think it's number one, really. Freshly cut wood,
yep,
is just got too much. It doesn't burn great.
That's how I feel, and it is
nice.
Righto, you needed a win, man.
I did, really. I think America needed me to get a win.
Do you know that we were talking about Paul Giamatti the other day, and I didn't mention this. I have this weird thing in my head where whenever somebody says, or if I say, I need a win here, I always think it in the voice of Paul Giamatti because it seems like the most Paul Giamatti style character thing to say. But I don't know if he's ever actually said that in a movie. I can just see him being like flustered and a little bit like sweating like that turtle on the sign we saw in Australia just being like, I need a win here. Anyway.
Yes. I will never not laugh when I think about that bathroom turtle.
But
I've never heard him say that. I think we laughed for like two straight hours about splooge.
I don't know. I think this is maybe a bit of a spoiler, but in the TBTL newsletter, one of the questions for the 10 of the week is what's your favorite TBTL moment? And somebody answered with that. I think it's the one that's coming out this week. And so I went back. I wanted to find the link for it and the time code, and I put that in the newsletter. So if you want to relive that, I re-listened to it, and I got to say, it was one of those things where even now, a year plus later, I'm listening back. There's you and me just losing our shit and being completely inarticulate in trying to describe this thing, but laughing. I understand why it made other people laugh, too. When you just hear two people just, they cannot contain their laughter. It is contagious. I was sitting here at my
computer. Couldn't contain my joy-do.
I couldn't. Oh, it's a joy-do. All right, let's get back to this quiz.
Contain my joy-do.
What is the purpose of the hood on a gas grill? To keep the heat inside? To keep the flame from flaring up, or to keep enough oxygen inside to maintain an even flame, to maintain an even flame.
I mean, I'm so confused. The hood, meaning just like the top of the grill.
Yeah.
What's its purpose? Okay, can I get those three again? By the way, the order has been submitted to the Jimmy John's. It has been received. It is not yet out for delivery. I will let you know when it's out for delivery.
Sounds good. What is the purpose of the hood?
It'll put you on about a 10-minute ticking clock.
To keep the heat inside, to keep the flame from flaring up, or to keep enough oxygen inside.
Well, the last one makes no sense because if you had it open, it would still be getting oxygen. So I'm ruling out number three. I'm going with number one.
You're going to go with number one to keep the heat inside. I'm going to go with number two to keep the flame from flaring up. But wait a second. This is gas. This is not charcoal. So I think you might be right to keep the heat inside. I think with charcoal, that's how they got me. I'm a charcoal griller, and you need the lid to tamp down the flames, but not with the gas grill. So look at the big
brain. So I was right on that.
You were, and I was wrong. Nice. What does a gas grill's valve regulator do? It controls how much gas reaches the burners. Hold on one second. I have this now. I'm just going to put this on Girls Just Want to Have Fun radio on Spotify.
Oh, good call.
So what does a gas grill's valve regulator do? It controls how much gas reaches the burners. It controls the specific mixture of gas and oxygen.
Are we enjoying some Sheryl Crow here? All I Want to Do?
I love this song. Me too.
Isn't this based on a poem?
Oh, if so,
there's
I didn't know.
There's a story
know
behind the lyrics of this song, I believe. Keep asking the question.
I thought about this song all the time in L.A. because she named this to me. It's just like day drinking in L.A. This is a There's a reason this song speaks to us. What does a gas grill's valve regulator do? It controls how much gas reaches the burners, how long it takes for the grill to heat up, or it controls the specific mixture of gas and oxygen.
It's number one. How much gas is going to the thing?
To the burners? You are indeed correct, my friend. I would have gotten that one wrong. I was thinking mixture of gas and oxygen, but nope. You're right.
All I Want to Do is a song performed by Sheryl Crow, written by Wynn Cooper. Its lyrics are adapted from Cooper's 1987 poem, Fun.
Interesting.
Do you know that Sheryl Crow is also a Michael Jackson backup singer?
I did not.
I'm full of captivating Crow content. Got there.
Captivating Crow content.
Yeah.
She could have sung. All right. It would have been fun if she had sung with the Counting Crows.
Uh-huh. She probably has.
Okay. How does the grill starter create a spark? A hammer hits a small crystal.
I'm the grill starter. Thank you for getting that joke. Because if not, you would just think that I was having some kind of aphasia.
A hammer hits a small crystal, creates a spark. A small piece of steel strikes a piece of flint. Or a tiny electrode gathers static electricity from the air.
Number three.
Yep, I'm going to go with that too. And we are both wrong.
What?
A hammer hits a small crystal. Some crystals, such as quartz, release thousands of volts when put under pressure. That's interesting.
Yeah. Almost all. I'm a gas barbecue man because I'm lazy, or gas grill person. And most gas grills, at some point, that lighting mechanism becomes a problem. Then you got to get one of those, like, long, like mm-hmm. lighters that has the long shaft on it. And then that becomes the way that you do the thing.
I just used one of those a moment ago as I was trying to light my bathroom candle, but it's too far down. I kept burning my finger on a regular lighter, so I had to get the grill lighter. How many electrodes ignite each burner in a gas grill? This is so boring and forever taking. How many electrodes ignite each burner in a gas grill? One, two, or three?
Two.
The answer is correct. It's two. I was so into this quiz at first, but now it's going to be like, it's just like getting into the minutia of the tiniest details of a grill. This is how stuff works. The burners of your grill mix the gas fuel with what to create a flame? So the burners mix fuel
oxygen?
With oxygen, helium, or carbon dioxide. I think it's oxygen. We're not idiots how stuff works. Why is propane but not natural gas available in a portable fuel tank? Okay, this is interesting.
Did I get that right,
you
though?
Did. Congratulations, Luke.
Okay, come on. Let's not rush past the ones I get right, please.
Sorry. But this is actually now it won me back over a little bit. I'm skeptical, but listening. Why is propane, not natural gas, available in a portable fuel tank? Is it because propane turns into a liquid when compressed?
Yep.
You want me to just do that? Do you want to hear the other
ones? Well, no, let's hear. I want to hear all of them.
Okay. Natural gas molecules are more volatile than propane molecules. That's what I was going to guess. Or packaging natural gas in portable containers is prohibited by law. This feels like an all of the above, but clearly it's not.
Yeah, they all seem like they're kind of part of it. Well, in honor of Hank Hill.
Propane
and propane-related services.
Good. That is good. No joke.
I'm going to go with number two.
Natural gas molecules are more volatile. You should have gone with your gut. I'm giving you a bell, but an angry bell. It was the liquid thing. Yeah. Sorry, I led you astray. Here's a question for you that's not
Luann,
officially.
We've got a situation here.
This is not officially
Bobby,
on the quiz, but why is Vibology by Paula Abdul? And what is Vibology?
Let's find out together.
Do we know this song?
Bobby, what are you doing with that dance?
Hank Hill yelling at Bobby, who's dancing to Vibology by Paula Abdul.
I actually do know this song. I remember this song. I was alive. In the 90s.
By the way, our sandwich is out for delivery.
Okay, I got like five more of these.
The order was submitted at 1:31 p.m. It is now 8 minutes later. I'll tell you what. The sandwich is... I'm going to freak with how fast the sandwich is traveling towards my house.
Oh, my God. These are all so boring. I'm just answering... You can't move on to the next one until you... I'm just clicking through these because these are so boring. Okay, here, I'm going to skip
this
one.
Well, it's how stuff works, which in a certain way is kind of interesting, like not for what we're doing, but just if you want to know how something works, this, I will say, this quiz does deliver on that. If you want to be entertained on a 3rd of July, I don't know. Maybe if you're on a 5th of whiskey, it'll make this 3rd of July quiz a little bit more interesting.
The music is the best part.
Why, it's the study of the chemistry between you and me.
Is that what vibology is? Did
you
just explain vibology?
She said, if you have to explain the song, you're losing. What is the major benefit of using an electric grill, Luke? It can be used indoors, it's more energy efficient, or it cooks food faster than other grills.
It's definitely not number 3. You and I, at our safe undisclosed location, had an electric grill, which I was fairly medium on. I think it's number 1. I think it's that you can cook indoors.
I'm going to go with more energy efficient, but let's go can be used indoors. Oh, you are correct. You are correct. Yeah. Actually, it would be less energy efficient, huh, because you're using energy from the grid.
You're using electricity, whereas otherwise you could be using, you know, charcoal or whatever.
This is the type of song where they're just like, add more. Like, it's not working. Add more. I feel like I'm in the position of the producers because I feel like this quiz isn't working anymore. And like, me
adding more.
Should I start
doing another quiz on top of it?
Yes. They're just kind of like, I don't know. What about opera singers? Okay. Vibology.
I also feel like she was in a heavy duty I want to be Prince phase.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like, or her producer was like, you know who's making good music right now? Prince. This feels like an off-brand Prince song to me, like a less successful Prince song.
Is there any chance that Prince's fingerprints are on this?
Well, I'll go to Wikipedia.
I'm looking this up, too. Let's see here. Album Spellbound, 1991, fourth single.
Dude, even the cover of this, whatever the still is, looks like something Prince would do.
It is not. Oh yeah, it does. I'm looking at that now. But he was not a writer or a producer on this. It doesn't look like. So I just wanted to.
It did take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people to write this song. None of them Paula Abdul, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, here's this. Here's my favorite part.
Oh yeah.
They did the vibe. They did the vibology.
Can we, we're in the studio here. Can we add some, let's just see what happens when we add some sound effects of ghost chains jingling. Let's see, would that be good? Okay. If we get some air horn. Oh, the breaking glass, I like that.
By the way, this, funnily enough, this is the song my mom sings if you give her a Roman candle. We don't need to call her up again, but just trust me on this.
Will you trust me that the last two questions are boring and we don't want to get into it, and we'll just say that you won the quiz?
Because I think my sandwich is going to get you
really
soon anyway.
Good. All right. Fantastic. Congratulations, Luke. That was a big win for
you. We can assume I would have gotten them right, though, right?
You needed a win here. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Hey, we need to do a little music for your weekend before we get out of here, because this is, of course, still a Friday episode of the program. Do you have any thoughts on a song?
I do. Are you familiar with the song Vibology by Paula Abdul? Coincidentally, good pull.
Oh, you mean Vibology?
All right. There is a musician that I'll bet you know about, but is new to me, named Jess Williamson. And I was just introduced to her because she released a new album, but then she released a new song that is not on that album. This song is called Pictures of Flowers by Jess Williamson. And she does it with a musician. It's a collaboration with somebody named Hand Habits, who apparently is playing guitar on this. Again, this whole world is new to me, but I really enjoyed this song. It's very sweet. It's called Pictures of Flowers. Just came out this week.
All right.
These artists who are recording during the pandemic and how it's directly influencing what they're singing about. Same with this and Michael Christmas a little bit too.
Yeah, I like that a lot. We were trying to get her on Livewire some time ago. And I think the scheduling didn't work out. That was, of course, pre-pandemic. All right. All three songs today are kind of a little, they feel a little connected to me. I want to suggest a song by this band, Sales, that I really like. I think they're out of Florida. I found out about them late, which should come as no surprise to anyone. But they've got this song, Renee, that I really like a lot. They also do that song called Chinese New Year, which is a See at the Movies song that I was playing a bunch maybe 6 months ago. So this is another song by the band, Sales, and the song is Renee.
To say they don't mean nothing to you. What the feather on the way? There's nothing better. All we had to do is touch. There was the best chance I could have ever been all of us. All day long we looked to fall, looking into the sun and find a way to get along. To be waiting for you in the day, on the day. There is nights between.
Nice, right?
Yeah, it's really nice. I like hearing the, not even joking, I like hearing the, I think you can hear the chair creaking in the background, and I kind of like that.
Okay, hold on. I think I'm getting a call from Jimmy John's. I got to tell him to leave the sandwich.
Take the cannoli.
Hi, this is the Jimmy John's delivery guy.
Hi, could you just leave the sandwich and the drink just out on the front porch? Or just in front of the gate, wherever's convenient?
There was no drink on the order.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to get through. All right. Well, just the sandwich is fine. Thanks, man.
Did you pay for the drink?
I'm going to check the receipt, my friend. Okay. Yeah, I like that band Sales. It's very – and I'm with you that I like the production of that song, too. It's very lo-fi, and you feel like you're kind of right there in the room when they're recording it. From Orlando, Florida, Andrew, we could
have
maybe had them play our Waffle House show.
I thought you were going to make a joke about doing a live show now during the pandemic. I would recommend not doing that. Don't be a Vanilla Ice.
That's right. Well, I mean, you could be a Vanilla Ice because he backed out at the
end.
That's
true, but, yeah.
By the way, I checked the receipt, and I failed to submit the drink order.
Oh, so that's good.
The guy, no, that was they were right. I was wrong, and I got to give them some credit, man. That was, let's see, it's 1:50 now. I ordered that. I literally hit send on it at 1:31. That's like 19 minutes, and that sandwich is on my porch, Andrew. And I'll tell you what, it's calling my name. So let's go ahead and play our listener suggestion, which will bring us to the end of our broadcast week. It's from, speaking of Floridians, it's our friend listener Sam, although I don't know if he's actually in Florida. We just met him and his wife in Florida.
He's in Florida. They live in Florida.
Oh, okay, good. Florida man, listener Sam, says, hey, guys, I got a Music for Your Weekend submission that just feels so right for the times we're living through. The song is Circle the Drain by the band Soccer Mommy. It's been on almost constant repeat in my house lately.
Hmm.
It's at the same time both hopeful and crushingly sad. And I really hope you like it. Oh, look, he signs it. Power out, Sam in Florida. So there you go. So that's what we're going to hear. A little Soccer Mommy going into the weekend. I feel odd saying that name, but that is the name of the band, so...
Who is your mommy, and what game does she play? Did I make the show better or worse with that?
I'm going to need the weekend to think about it.
Fair.
We also went exactly 1 hour with this half-hour show. So
nice. Perfect.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Please do stay safe. Make good decisions this weekend. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we'll see you on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.